minor.
We're finally all settled. Why don't we call the meeting to order? This is the meeting of the Minnesota Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission, and it's January 21st, 2010, first meeting of the new year. First item of business would be to approve the agenda, and maybe those of you that have seen the agenda, anybody have any additions, corrections, or items that should be modified? Janine and Ryan, I assume you got that electronically in the mail. You've seen that agenda?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Okay, it's been moved by Jeff Carlson to approve the agenda. Do I hear a second? Janine seconds it. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that is unanimous. Let's go on to the agenda then. Next item of business is the approval of the minutes from our November meeting, which was our last meeting. Those were sent out electronically. Ryan and Janine, I hope you did get those also. And if you want to just take a quick minute to scan through it again, and if anybody has any questions or issues, bring them up. Anybody has any questions or concerns on the minutes? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved. Ryan from Becker.
It's been moved by Ryan to approve the minutes. is there a second?
I'll second.
Jeff Carlson seconds it. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Subcommittee reports. Jeff, I got down there if there was anything from the trusted submitter group at this point.
There really isn't. The only thing that we've talked about at all was trying to get a Dakota County recording done now that ECRB is done. And I think once the schema is approved, we'll get to that in a minute, but once that is approved, we should be able to do that within 2 to 3 weeks after that time, so we can at least get one or prove the process anyways at that point. And then I think beyond that, it's just, I'm sure Teresa can probably bring us up to date on the ECRB submissions and submitters and that type of thing when we get to that. But that's all I've got.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. I'm going to go on to the county recorder update. And we've got a couple of items, schema discussion and ECRB update. But before doing that, I thought I'd maybe just call on Chris Vasilisi to just kind of give us an update about the data collection effort on recording documents and kind of where that's going to end up being and hopefully where it will reside for people to have access information.
Yeah. As you can see, I have the 2009 report. It's a preliminary report. I had downloaded the information and put it into a spreadsheet. Then I posted the spreadsheet to the county or the MACO website, and it's located under the ERER Commission. And on the right-hand side, it's the 2009 preliminary data document counts. It's in PDF, and it's also in a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet format. The counties can go in there and check and see if their data is correct or if all their data is in. And then I sent an email out to all of the county recorders to request that they do so and get back to me with corrections if they have any. And hopefully by the end of the next week, I should have all of the data in. And if it's not there, I will be calling the counties personally.
Chris, could I get a clarification when you say they are, should check and make corrections? Where do you want those corrections made? On the where we were originally supposed to enter them, or on the spreadsheet, or just give them to you?
Give them to me.
Okay.
If you have corrections, but if you are if the data isn't there at all, go ahead and enter it.
If you're missing a month,
enter it. Okay. But if it's a correction, please contact me directly by email.
That's not a PDF.
Some of it, yeah, I put it in PDF on the website too. So some of them couldn't open. Yeah, they couldn't. Right, and they can't update it on the website. They shouldn't be doing that because it has to go through an entirely different process. So they need to contact me for correction. It's a little cumbersome. I'd like to find a better way of doing this, but right now I just don't have time to research that. So I'll make do with what I've got.
Well, it will be more information than we've ever had before.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's where it stands, Mike.
Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Good work. And now we just need to make sure that all the rest of us recorders get our data in and updated, because I noticed when I looked through ours, we only had ours in the first half of the year. So
that's why I was asking the questions. And both the counties in the same circumstance.
Anyway, but thank you, Chris.
And I did note that Becker County had a heck of a month in July.
Yes. I'm sure I'll be getting a correction from them.
Wow.
That's why it says preliminary.
And then Dodge County is doing everything Model 2.
Yes.
They're not doing any paper down there.
No paper.
No. 100%. That's it.
That is the first one.
Well, you know, we probably should commend Ryan for really promoting electronic reporting up there in Becker County.
At least for the month of July.
Ryan, you get accolades here.
He doesn't. I didn't.
I actually have a recorder, Darlene, a city here. But I looked at her and said, "Oh, you're saying we're having a banner month because I don't know what they're saying. I think it put zeros in for everything."
I think on the numbers for Becker County for the month of July, it looks like that you recorded 5,293 abstract documents and 116 torrents.
No, that's just paper, Mike.
But that was just the paper, and then we got
another 5,000 electronic.
You did another 5,000 electronic documents, which really is an impressive month. So we know where the real estate market is booming in the country up north there.
For 1 month.
It might be a little further north than that. The numbers sound a little suspect.
I think Department of Revenue will be up there looking for their D-tax money. Of course, Ryan, you've got all that money, don't you? Or is that it?
I've used it, already spent it.
Yeah.
On that note, though, I did talk to Joel earlier today. He says his e-recordings are going way up.
Way
last
up.
Month, over 700, and he said almost 600 this month so far.
That's
wow. So yeah, they dropped off. It's way up when the boom time hit, and then dropped off. But he's seen a good increase there.
Yeah, Joel had kind of announced at the recorders conference last week that 10 to 12% of all of his documents have started coming in now in electronic form for Model 2. So he's been very, very excited and pleased with how things have gone so far. So
yeah.
And he's not doing deeds yet. And so he can hardly wait to start salivating when the deeds can come in, because he thinks he will jump a significant percentage.
The corner of the market, right?
Yeah, right.
They'll get all the Dakota recordings.
He said he's willing. He said you can record HEP and documents electronically in Dakota as long as you're willing to pay the fees. May not show on the HEP and track indexes, he said, but we'll take the recording fees. Anyway, well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that very much.
And I've got a ton of emails. I just checked my email, and I think there's going to be quite a few corrections.
Well, that's good, because it says that our recording friends are looking at it, and they're paying attention to it. So, anyway, thank you much. Why don't we go on to the schema discussion and kind of go through an update of where we left off in November. We had our group that was going to meet and meet with Pam to take a look at what it would take to write the schema extensions for what we've done for the document that we've identified. And Pam, I'm going to maybe ask you to just kind of give a little update, because you and Dean Pass here the past couple of months have been spending a little time working on that. And I think from what I read this morning, you're very close to having something to maybe that we can post and share with the technology folks for comments here during the next month. But let me ask you to go ahead and kind of give an overview on it.
Yeah, the spreadsheet, I think the last meeting we had was November.
November, yes.
And the spreadsheet, I went back, there were a few things. I think Chris, Larry and I met. And then I updated the spreadsheet, and then that was posted on the website?
It's not yet, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we only have two people who post to the website.
Okay.
We have to establish the constitutional dedicated funding website for the legacy amendment first, and so those folks have been, you know, unfortunately, we don't have, I don't post myself, so but we will. It's all, I've written up the text and everything like that,
okay.
So, yeah.
Can I ask, on the new one then, is there track changes on there so we can see which areas were?
I did not, because there were so many changes that went through when Larry, Chris, and I, and with Dean's comments, there were just a lot of changes that happened that it was just crazy to keep track of the changes. So this is kind of starting brand new. And then Dean did notice some things that had to be changed, just a few minor ones, and he's kept track of those changes. So the spreadsheet is pretty stable, I would say, 99.9% stable. Dean did take that spreadsheet and design the schemas from that, and the schemas he has, I don't know if he sent them to you or not, but he has circulated them, well, to me, and I know Mike,
so
I don't know who else he gave them to. I did go through them and commented on things, and he fixed them, so I think they're good to be
posted.
And then we can, 30 days or however many days, 3 weeks, to get comments back, and I strongly urge the technical people to look at it. Even if you could look at a SAT or a mortgage just to kind of see if it makes sense. I did have my technical person back at U.S. Recordings look at it and load the schema into the application and everything. We found a few problems there, so those have been fixed. So it's just out there hoping to get out there for review and just hearing the comments.
Pam, can I ask you a quick question? The one you sent me, that this is a copy of it.
Yeah.
And so is this what should be posted?
The
then?
Latest one. Yeah. Dean's made a few changes, so maybe we should just get the one that Dean has.
Sure, that would be fine. Yeah.
It was just some comments that got changed.
Okay.
He sent me a copy of it this morning, Pam.
Okay.
And I didn't forward anything to you, Diane, but that was, I think he sent the final one to you. I think you and I were the two that were carbon on what he had done, and he thought that it was ready to get posted then so that people could take a look at it and comment on it.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there on technical groups, Dave, you were there from Simplifile? Somebody was there from Simplifile, wasn't there?
Dave is on the line, yep.
Yeah. I had told Dallin last week that it was just about ready, and it it is ready, and we will get it posted. And very much, Dallin, committed Dave, you guys, to take a good look at it for us.
Yep, we sure will.
And we appreciate that. And I don't know if there's anybody on there from NGO, too, but if there is, we certainly would appreciate your review of that as well. And we've probably got some addresses electronically that we could send that to some of those technology outfits so that they can take a look at it. We've got Bill here with us, and I'm sure you've got some folks, Bill, that will be happy to take a look at it and make any comments for us here. What I was thinking that we would do is put it out there for comments here for the next several weeks, and then maybe as a commission we can take that up at a February meeting.
When do we expect to see that again now? I've lost track.
Well,
a few days here, right?
I would hope that if we get it to you yet by tomorrow, you can tell me how soon, Diane.
Maybe next week, but...
Let me ask this. Could we send an electronic copy out to certain people so that they could...
Absolutely.
Sure. That sounds like...
Good. Sure. Yeah. That might be easier, too.
You know, I mean, at least we can get it to the technical folks. I mean, you know, like TriMan and Fiddler and Simplifile and NGO, and if there's others of that nature that we know they've got technical folks. So, Bill, we can make sure that we've got that out for you all here by the first part of next week. And we'll try and get it posted on the website then as soon as possible. I know we've kind of taken, we've had to take a back seat on posting a few things here because there's something about a census, too, that you guys have to deal with.
And we deal with the redistricting.
And then somebody said there was a legislative session that you were supposed to be dealing with, and there's something.
We have a new council.
We're
working on a couple contracts with television for the legislature. Blah, blah, blah. We've got a few things on there. Yeah.
And they're not giving them any additional staffing either. They're cutting them, too, so... Anyway, it sounds familiar story. I've heard this.
They're not cutting us.
I've heard this song before. I think I've even heard the verse before.
Government needs to be leaner and leaner.
We don't think that anyone used the last approved spreadsheet to do any programming, though, correct? That we know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
I wouldn't think so. I'm just if we just have to make sure that. I mean, whoever informed. I wouldn't think anyone's made any moves, and the counties would know more than anyone, I would think.
Yeah, I have a question in order to do that. Are the extensions specific to the release level, like 2.4.1? What happens with 3? Can they be extended or copied or somehow when 3.1 comes up?
When Dean says extensions, it's not the true word as how we had seen the Minnesota extensions in the level 3 stuff that we were supposed to do. He mainly took the PREA 2.4.1 and applied our business rules to it. The spreadsheet that I did does not have any extra fields on it outside of the PREA DPD or schema. We just fit ourselves into PREA. So Dean took the spreadsheet that I did, and we went through, Larry, Chris, and I, it's all coming back to me now, Larry, Chris, and I went through an exercise of what was required and what was optional. So Dean created a schema using PREA, which almost everything's optional, right, and forced what needed to be required per document type. So there aren't, when I hear extensions, I always think of how we were supposed to do it for level 3, where we had to add our own structure and everything. That's not what happened. He just took the PREA schema and made things required that we had said would be required per document type.
So when 3.0 comes out, 3.1, or whatever you call it, it's going to be a re-effort.
The 3.0, that's a schema that's coming out,
yes,
right?
Indeed.
I would assume,
indeed.
Because there's going to be restructuring.
This thing, because we have this commission is going to have a fairly active technical group to keep us
current.
Yeah.
I know it's totally.
Have you seen it? I haven't seen it.
And
do you have it?
They're still out, as I understand, the comment period still on the 3-0.
Yeah, there's some.
And what have they cut off date yet for that?
Oh boy, you know. No, not that I'm aware of. Maybe somebody on the phone with us. Who was on from?
Dave, are you there? Do you know what cutoff date they have set, if any, for the comment and review of the PREA 3.0 standard?
It has not been released yet officially.
I'm here. There is a final review statement right now. In fact, there's a trimester meeting next week in Jacksonville, Florida, where I believe the final time is going to be decided, but it's pretty much set in stone right now.
And by that, meaning in the next 3 months it might be released, or are we talking about the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that in the next month or so it'll be released. It's in the review process right now where they're actually having vendors pilot implementations of it. So
you think it'll be ready for discussion and release at the PREA conference in March?
I believe so, yes. We're anticipating having a couple of working sessions on during the PREA conference in March about how to implement the reporting side.
Okay.
Well, maybe we can just sort of parallel process here. And, you know, we'll be keeping everyone here up to date. Those of us that are involved in the PREA thing along with. What's going on? Are you going to?
Not at this moment.
All right.
Are you going?
Okay. So we'll see you next week. That's good.
Yep. Thank you, Pam. Again, I certainly appreciate the volunteer efforts that we get repeatedly from Pam and Dean, or Dean Pass, in this case, the WCI also has put in a considerable amount of work on this. And it's a lot of work, and I think for a very good cause. So, again, thank you much. ECRV update. Next item on the agenda. I will give at least an update on what's happening in Hennepin. I think Michelle Ash is on board, and I will call on Michelle to kind of give us a little update of how things are going there.
Jason's on the line, too. Jason is.
And who?
Jason Parker.
Jason's on there as well, yeah.
And Teresa.
And Teresa, I think, was on there also.
Yep.
Hennepin has been meeting with the folks over at the Department of Revenue, and I think I can report that there is a great deal of excitement about the effort. There's probably some differences of opinion between our assessors and the Department of Revenue about how much additional programming needs to be done to satisfy some of our county assessors' needs in Hennepin. And that's being looked at in terms of some requirements that could be forthcoming to the Department of Revenue. From the recording side, we're pretty much ready to go the minute we kind of get an okay, and I told that to our assessor based on what we've seen. We could probably handle the recording side fine. The issue that our assessor has, of course, is they would prefer to avoid having to do double keying into the state's electronic system and then having to also key into our homemade system. And so there are some discussions and activities surrounding that on our front. So that's kind of where we're at right now with Hennepin. Maybe I just turn it over to Dakota. If you, Teresa is there, you can maybe give us an update on how things are going in Dakota now that you've been live and in color now for about a month and a half with anybody being able to submit ECRVs.
Sure. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay. Well, we did open up submissions,
all
submitters, November 7th. Now up to 170. of the month of December, and those payments are here. So it is stepping up fairly. It is a little lower going than we were expecting. I understand that federal government do have some internal process changes that they're very different states. We are processing CRPs on the county side. That's why getting data, we are doing some manual key in for the month. Data transfer to happen, and you know that'll happen eventually. That's the update. You can see I'm going fine, and the revenue is working on another piece that's coming up here in the next couple of weeks that will even allow more workflow to go on here before the core county funds.
And I'll add to this, we're submitting to Dakota at this point, and I also went to an MLTA meeting on Tuesday, and there is another, I think, two title agents that are going to start submitting ECRB. The only, everyone liked it. I would say the only negative comment would be, like they had mentioned earlier, was you have to have all the information to enter. You can't start a submission and then go back. So before the closing, all the questions have to be answered so you can complete that ECRB, or you have to kind of do it post-closing all at one time. But then they felt a little bit like if they could enter, and Jason knows this as well. I mean, they talked a little bit about this, and there's some dangers. He's about creating templates and all of that, so that's an issue. But they thought, other than that, it was very easy to use. Most all people could get in and without training create a, if you've done a CRB in the past, you can do one electronically. Nobody really had issues that way. And so they're very pleased with the user friendliness of it, and probably that was the one and only thing that stopped some of their closers from doing it. And they, for whatever reason, they're going back to manual. Then I don't.
Jeff, what do you have? You maybe got all but the answers to two questions, and you normally fill out preparation, say for a closing, you fill out the document all except for those two questions. And then when you had a buyer or seller there, you'd get the answer to those two questions and fill it out on the old paper form. But you can't do that on the electronic form because it won't save it for you.
Correct.
So then I have to go back in and restart all over if I...
And the reality is, I mean, it's probably more of a nuisance than anything, because if you went and you had to recreate the whole thing, it still only takes like 2-3 minutes. I mean, even if you did it that way, started and then said, oh, gee, I don't have this answer because I forgot to ask at that time and this is when I'll get the answer, to recreate takes minutes. But I think it's just more of a nuisance issue. Other than that, like I said, I don't want to put a damper on it because otherwise, very user-friendly, very stable, no other comments besides that, and others were excited to get started on it.
Okay, very good. Jason, I'm going to ask you a kind of a transition here before we go to Sherburne County, maybe to give us an update from revenue's perspective on how it's been going and where you're at then in that sense.
Sure. Revenue's development team changed over during the year and has really been ramping up to speed and adopting and integrating the development of the application within revenue's process. So that's been going well. It's also slowed down some things, in particular some of the back-end county processing pieces that Teresa alluded to in a new release, and maybe also some things that Hennepin will wind up needing. We've been waiting for Hennepin to articulate more concretely exactly what the gap differences are between the applications they are able to test, and so that we can then respond back with the development cycle to meet some of those gap needs. So once we get an articulation on that, then I think we can get a more formal timeline going with Hennepin. So Hennepin is working on that aspect. In terms of Dakota, I think that we are very close to getting into a situation where most of the issues that Dakota sees as being a primary need for efficient workflow will be in place. I mean, not necessarily the ideal, but some place that we feel fairly stable on, and also confident that going out to additional counties will be done smoothly. So that's sort of the update from the DOR's standpoint.
Thank you, Jason. Michelle Ash, I think I heard you on the phone there. Maybe you can kind of give us a little update on where things are at with Sherburne.
I'd be happy to do that, Mike. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Wonderful. We had our first initial meeting on December the 16th. We were represented here by staff from DOR, including Jason. It also included our auditor treasury department, our assessor department, and of course recorders department. Sean Roney from TriMed was also present. And we had a good kickoff meeting. We had a demonstration of ECRV. We talked about Dakota County's experience, and we discussed a plan for Sherburne moving forward. We did assign a project manager, and that's going to be Brian from our IS department. And the most notable difference is we have a different tax vendor than what Dakota County has. We have the EMCIS program, and so we're working extensively with them. I look forward to our next meeting. Hopefully we'll make some significant headway.
Any projected dates? Because that's what going back to MLTA, that's what they're always asking me is, when do you think a rollout schedule is? What's a projected timelines? Just any, even a ballpark would be, projected quarter would be.
Second quarter this year, Michelle?
Michelle may not have.
Hopeful. Optimistically hopeful.
Jeff Carlson was asking.
Okay.
Jeff Carlson was asking.
Revenue would echo that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
Okay. It depends who you ask in Hennepin. We're ready to go tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, but the assessor right now is not quite at that point. And that gets to be the issue of how much double keying has to be done before the gap work that has to take place to probably meet some of Hennepin's workflows can be accomplished. And some of that hopefully will be identified here in the next week or so that revenue will get from us. In Sherburne, do you have an assessor that is willing to look at doing double keying, much like what Dakota is doing at the present time?
Yes, we do.
You do? Okay.
I will address the double keying just briefly here. Dakota had initially stated that they wanted to put on hold the idea of doing a web service download, upload, mainly because they're in the process of implementing a new back-end system
right.
in the county.
Right.
So that piece was sort of put on hold. Our assumption is that that piece is going to need to be in place for both Sherburne and Hennepin to begin production of CRP. So that addresses part of the double keying aspect, because you can simply download into your local systems directly. The other half is for CRVs that are still coming in as paper, and so the desire would be to proxy enter those paper CRVs into ECRV, although ECRV has always been presented as a system that can operate in parallel to the paper process, not as a complete immediate replacement of it, since this is at a sort of a county pace. And so it was discovered that the gap between the paper and ECRV, because we took advantage of redoing it, was too significant to be able to use the existing front-end entry form for the proxy entry. There just simply was questions that weren't asked in the paper scenario. There is programming resources that we'd have to decide when to implement such a feature. So proxy is something that can be done. It's just a matter of deciding when it is appropriate to do. It's certainly under the purview of any county to decide to wait for the proxy entry. And, they can choose to wait to implement ECRV until that is done. The better solution is to just get submitters to all submit via ECRV directly, and not to give paper over the counter to the county. And that can be done in two ways. One, a county can implement a lobby computer and just direct them to say, hey, enter it directly into the lobby computer, and then the paper doesn't even exist as far as DOR is concerned, or to get them to use the web for the front-end form. And so the quicker that is done, then the less need for a proxy entry would be the case. If a county can get to the point where the number of paper CRBs that might still need to be accepted over the counter is fairly low, then that really limits the need for the double entry.
Jason, this is Jeff. One question I have, since it's not, and we've seen it's not a one-to-one relationship between the paper and the ECRV. So if somebody walks it in and doesn't have the knowledge of the two or three additional questions on ECRV, are they relevant enough to throw off any, create any issues, I'll say? I mean, eventually we'll get to everything, but today, if you're getting it in paper, you're not getting those questions answered anyways. Is there an issue if somebody just, I'll say, in essence, plugs an answer? I mean, is there a problem with that?
Yes, there is a problem with it, because there is not a facility in the process to really make sure that we know exactly that that's happened.
Okay.
You know, you like you say, you plug in answers in there, but we don't know, other than saying putting some kind of hint in the comment field or something, that's just not good enough. So we would, in order to implement the feature, we need to make a small schema adjustment to make it clear that this is the form of the entry that's occurring, and we probably also would just, you know, remove the field from entry altogether. And that's a consensus view of the development team inside of revenue and the property tax division staff as well. The reps are very concerned that, you know, because it trickles out. Every time you print a CRV, then we would have to make sure that the printout of the CRV, the data that's represented in that printout, is accurate or not misconstrued. So you can see that it began to snowball. That if there's data that's really not valid, and yet it looks valid, and there's public access of that paid data, that's a big problem that we just can't work around easily.
Yeah, and because if you went to the solution that you're talking about with putting a terminal out in the lobby and having the people enter at that time, the issue is the people delivering aren't the people closing, so they don't have the knowledge to answer those questions accurately. They'll answer them if you want them to, but they won't be accurate.
I understand that. You know, I don't have an easy answer for you,
yeah,
other than, you know, this now is the form, and you're right, it may delay the process, it may creep in some data that you know is representative being accurate, but in fact may not be. That's all part of the transition here from trying to go from a paper world to the electronic world.
Right. Or, you know, and if those are relevant questions, maybe one more question, is this a paper proxy would eliminate that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the questions that are in ECRV are determined to be, you know, the ones that we want to ask and need to ask in order to do equalization properly and to represent sales properly and understand arm's length transactions properly. And so, you know, that's part of the progress, the opportunity we took to do that. And so, yes, we want all those questions to be answered.
Yeah. Okay.
Jason, thank you very much for the update, and thank you for you know, Michelle and Teresa for your update as well. Is there anybody else on the line that has had any other updates on ECRV that hasn't commented yet? Well, if not, I will just thank all of you for your effort, and I also will just make comment that the folks at Simplifile did show us an electronic submission of paper documents here back after our last November meeting that some of us were able to view, and I want to thank Simplifile for the demonstration that they gave of that to us as well, because that was certainly much appreciated. Why don't we go on to next item on our agenda, and that's a year-end report discussion. Diane, we had, and you included that.
Yeah, that's the last. That's the last document.
There was
should be on your last.
A
I mean,
short little one-page, five bullets, so to speak, topics that we kind of talked as the possible outline draft of a 2009 year-end report for submission of our activity.
Hey, Mike, I was just thinking for the benefit of the people that are on the phone, I didn't have the opportunity to send this ahead of time. I should have, but to the folks. So
let me just go through it then for those of you on the telephone. This was just an outline draft of a possible report from the commission that we can submit to the legislature. And there are five items that were identified on this outline draft. Number one, a brief review of the history of the groups transitioning to a commission from the old task force. That would be, say, item number one. Item number two, the adoption of Model 2 standards for the commission. And with the suggestion 2A to highlight the economic benefit to the state of Minnesota and the counties throughout the state, as well as submitters and customers and what have you. Number three, the development of the E-Well certificate through the Department of Health and the rollout implementation of that particular program. Number four, we talked about trying to tactfully address the importance of rolling out our ECRB with the Department of Revenue and all the counties throughout the state of Minnesota and talk about the progress that's been made on that front throughout the course of the year. And then finally, some survey of county recording activity for the 2009 recording calendar year. Those were the topics that we kind of had talked about with staff here that I wanted to just kind of share with commission members and the rest of you as a possible outline for a short report, but just kind of something to share with the legislators in terms of what we did accomplish and where we're at. Comments? Suggestions?
I mean, Bill, it would seem that perhaps a brief statement about what we would expect, having gotten through some pretty significant issues, what we would expect the next year to do. That we would, that with the ECRB and Model 2 recording, we expect some pretty significant jumps in the process. I think.
I think that's a very good point. And I think that's, you know, what we have to look forward to here next. And just on that topic, let me just comment about in talking at the MACO conference last week with some of our fellow recorders and asking them where they were at and what they wanted to see, the comment that I heard repeatedly was just make as many uniform conveyancing blank documents as possible included for eligibility to electronically record. And the one area that they really were suggesting to me that we haven't addressed so far are the foreclosure documents, and that was the one that had been talked about. We kind of stayed away from that because we didn't have UCBs on that up until just very recently. And I would throw out that's probably an item, I'm not saying in the next month, but I think it's an item we ought to take a look at here during 2010 of trying to come up with some requirements for those documents now that we have UCBs on that. And I might ask Chris and Larry if you would be willing to even take a look at that going forward on that front, and then if we can twist the arm of Pam after she's had sufficient time to recover from our current effort.
My question there is, we talked about this once before, don't we have to integrate the Sheriff's Department with this then? Or electronically we could handle it outside of, that would be, I think, the only big stop.
Right now, the way the process works for the sheriff's certificate of foreclosure is that that document is actually prepared by the lawyers, brought to the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office then signs off on it, and then they bring it to record in our office. So it's already prepared outside of the sheriff's office, and I'm not sure how we would facilitate for that. Other than if you're doing Model 2, you just scan it in and send it to us.
Send it. Now, is it still, because we do very once in a blue moon a report, is it still a requirement that it get there within 24 hours of the sheriff's signing?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure how quickly. They usually bring them down there right by the sheriff's office.
That's freshly minted.
Right. That's what I mean is...
But I'm not so sure that then lends itself well, that particular piece of the puzzle. There's a lot of other documents that are recorded.
Notices and various other things could be.
I'm not so sure that one is such a big deal since we're already in the building. They can bring it to us. They don't.
And likely because of the time constraint, they're not going to go back to their office, scan it, and run it back.
And there really probably isn't any advantage for them to do it that way.
But then the other, the notices and that.
Right, all the other stuff could be done electronically.
Okay. Just, I mean, because that's a large guy. It would help if we carved that out, the rest would be.
I mean, it would be there for somebody that wanted to do it. However, there probably isn't, because of logistics, a real business reason to do it.
Unless they bring their own scanner and after a fine tune.
They could take their laptop.
Maybe the sheriff's office could have a facility to scan and submit
loaded in. Yeah, I mean, that is possible.
Yeah. Mm. The long lines at the recorder's office.
Yeah, they are huge right now.
Kind of waiting through people.
We'd rather make them go through security and take off their shoes.
And check them for... it's
an item that I think we can put on our agenda for some time in 2010. I don't see it as something that we need to put on in immediate right now. But that was what I was hearing from my recording colleagues about taking a look to try and maximize those UCBs and try and stick with that. I had a few of my colleagues tell me about some internal documents that they've got within their county that they wish that we would develop some standards for. I said, I think we're going to stick with the state UCBs for the time being, and you're going to have to deal with your own internal documents within your own county that you deal with, things like permits. There were some permits and mobile home deals that some counties deal with and where they record them and that sort of thing. So, anyway.
Well, the UCB group could maybe develop a form for that.
Yeah,
and that's where they should go first.
Right,
is to you see there are 25 foreclosure documents.
Wow,
are there?
Mm-hmm. From
I know the reason we didn't choose to tackle it mainly was we were hoping that that would become less of a business item.
Wasn't the reason at all. They weren't available.
Well, they weren't available, but we also thought that that's not the positive end of the business that we want to see growing for the future. I was trying to be optimistic.
I know, but if they would have been on the list of UCBs available, we would have included it.
They were.
Because we took everything that was in the UCB system at that point in time. Yeah.
And these had just been posted recently.
These have just been done.
Yeah.
Right.
Getting back to you.
Let's get back to the year-end report.
Right. This isn't a personal concern of mine, but I'm thinking for the other recorders out there in the rest of the state. Number five, do we want to put raw numbers out there, or would we want to put percentage of documents recorded, in Model 2 and Model 3, instead of having the gross numbers out there that there were 1 million documents recorded and 3,000 of them were electronic in Model 2. Is that going to give anybody heartburn? It doesn't mean, but there are maybe some recorders that gives heartburn too, to have how many documents, because that does equate to revenue, and light might go on somewhere about how many documents are actually getting recorded and how much revenue that is, because it doesn't take much to do the math then.
I agree with Larry. I think percentages would be the way to go on that. I mean, you're part of the conversation. We do have the documentation in the background if someone is that curious they can get it. Mm-hmm. But I think percentages would make some of our fellow recorders more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I think anything that's aimed towards growth, like
yep.
demonstrate growth
yep.
year over year.
And that's what we're trying to get to.
Right. And so if there's something that I don't know how much data we have, raw data we have, or summarized data we have from prior years, 2008 or 7, but if we could say, you know, these many more counties have come on than in the last
yep.
year, these many more documents are being filed electronically,
right.
that sort of thing, I think, is more... The legislature could care less if there were 2,000 or 3,000. They want to know, well, how are we doing? Are we
yep.
moving forward here?
Yep.
And don't you think, too, though, as far as the state... Compared to other states, maybe Colorado might be the only other one, Iowa, I guess, with the portal, but that has as many counties that we record as we do. I mean, Wisconsin's close. I thought I counted a little difference. We're one or two more than...
I don't know that I'm able to say that, but as far as documents recording, we would certainly not be very high on the list.
Not the volume, but the number right. of... counties that are e-recording.
You know, I don't know if I can speak to that. You may be right. I don't know.
We
can get from PREA very easily,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing. Maybe you want to do a comparison between 8 and 9 percentages, how much we've increased.
Right.
That's yeah. And certainly a statement in there about the, when we talk about,
Well, you'll see
an increase
from 8 to 9, I'm afraid, because Hennepin did a moratorium here this
right.
past year while we were trying to roll out our new system.
Okay.
So you'll
but you
see
have
that.
Footnotes too.
Right. Right.
That could
yeah.
be a footnote in that yeah. sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus a footnote of that we anticipate that there will be a lot more activity in
as we've now added all these extra documents and we've gone
number
to two standards
yeah.
and this
right.
is the year we hope to see a big substantial
right.
growth.
Right.
With EVO and
ECRD. But as far as number 6 is concerned, you know, maybe just identifying, I don't know if we're in a position to do that, identifying 2 or 3 objectives that we would be tackling in this coming year, such as
you know what I'm
saying, the foreclosure documents.
What I'm thinking maybe is a better way to handle number 5, the survey of county recorders for 09, is just to talk about the future and talk about it in comparison to the past. And we can throw in the percentage numbers in that sense and then just talk about what has been included in the report should lead to a big growth in the numbers of recordings in counties throughout the state because of the added number of documents and the standards being adopted for Model 2. And handle those kind of two together in that sense. Does that make some sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're really then talking about the future and we're comparing that to what we've had from the past
mm-hmm.
and to deal with it in that fashion. People comfortable with that if we kind of incorporate those two together in that sense? Yeah. Other comments about the proposed outline of the draft report here? My apologies to those of you on the phone for not being able to see all the written words here. But
you think we're positive, or we're far enough along, or moving broadly enough to be able to get a testimonial from we're entitled or something like that, or as a final, ain't this wonderful
mm-hmm.
kind of statement? Maybe that's premature. I don't know.
I don't know. What do you think, Jeff?
I don't know. We could write it, but we've been doing it since
we
the
we
beginning.
We might be biased.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. You think Pam could give us a testimonial about what she thinks about this?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask ex-Senator Kelly, the one that kind of brought us together in the first place.
But you know, and I was thinking.
I'm thinking next year, maybe Bill.
2010,
probably closer.
But as far as that goes, I think that is a good idea because I think I'd probably take number 2 here, the adoption model 2 standards, and the economic benefits. Well, this is to the state, but to the submitters is what we're talking about, and get some kind of recommendation from someone out there.
Well, there's economic benefits to the counties too by being able to file this way. I mean, it's less staff time, and it cuts down on having to handle the paper over the counter.
Yeah.
So.
And it's green.
It's green.
Yeah.
Green. And certainly for the submitters, it reduces that gap time in terms of there not being information available on the public record between when a closing takes place and when it does become accessible to the public.
It's clearly a benefit during this time of RESPA changes and the ability to reconcile fees, because you basically have 30 days to refund a customer. If you are off on your fees with taxes, you have zero tolerance, and recording fees 10%. So essentially a refund has to be issued within 30 days. If you aren't an e-reporting county, it's tough to reconcile your numbers within that amount of time. Because even if things get recorded quickly, but that doesn't necessarily mean we get them back as quickly as what they're recording. Now, I will say, turn times have been fabulous over the last year and a half. Have been
for unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate. But the turn times have gone way down. It's great right now, but if you see another run up, you go beyond that 30 days. There is issues with RESPA violations. So yeah, no, there's definitely things we can put in there. It's to the benefits.
Okay. Other comments on the outline?
What's the method of presentation here? When the commission was established, where there's is this a requirement that in some form or format, the commission report to the legislature?
No, there is no statutory requirement for this particular type of document. We have talked about that perhaps it's in our best interest to at least share that with the legislature, that maybe this is some good news that they would like to hear. It doesn't cost them any money in that sense. But no, there is no statutory requirement. There used to be under the old task force requirement, but there was not with the commission language. So
how do you anticipate delivering the message? And to whom? Right, you thought that would bother
you. Okay, have you make a speech on the interim policy center tomorrow?
If I get compensated, as well as you've compensated Pam, I'll
have to think about it. Jeff and I just
lots
picked
of that
up
to go
a
around
way
though
to finance the rest of whatever it is we do. We could sell carbon credits since we're so green.
Right. We have the green solution.
The green solution.
We've got the right wing and the left wing and the green wing solution here.
I think we should put that right on the front of our report, the green report.
The green, yes.
You can't get a paper copy of this report. You have to get it electronically.
We could certainly, as far as delivery, I mean, we have the legislative email addresses. And
yeah.
I mean, we can do it electronically. We can post it to the RER website. I mean, although we don't have a budget for this commission, I could talk to my boss about, having some money dedicated to a small amount, a nominal amount of reports. I don't think that's going to break the bank at all. If there's some key legislators, then to deliver a report to, as far as that, I'd be happy to facilitate that.
Good idea.
I think with most legislators, actually, they appreciate things electronically nowadays.
Yes, I think they do. I mean, I certainly do. I mean, I think we've all kind of gotten to that. 10 years ago, if you had told me I had to be where I'm at today, I'd have said you were crazy. But I'd much prefer always to get everything electronic now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just yesterday, one of the shows, they talked about email being archaic. It is all about social media now.
So put it on Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter
and Facebook. We should have a Facebook site.
Yeah. We have policies on that, actually.
Oh, you do you, huh?
You're not into Facebook yet?
No, Facebook, no Twitter.
You've got a Twitter account, though?
No.
you're YouTubing it, then.
No, YouTube.
For that. No, 140 characters or less?
Yeah, 140 characters.
They make a short report, though.
Yes, right. Put it in more than one.
That
feels
okay. You know. But the thing about that, they sign up.
Tweet.
Yeah, they sign up for the tweet. There you go.
That one is too silly for me. I just don't quite understand that one.
It's efficient.
Okay.
Brief.
I guess it's kind of like a text message.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about now how we put this report together and who's going to write what and so forth. I've got some ideas here. Here's some thoughts that I've got. I would be willing to take a stab at doing the history and the transitioning from the task force to the commission. The adoption of Model 2 standards. Larry and Chris, I was wondering if the two of you might be willing to just talk about, in a short, I'm not talking about something long, but just what's taken place here in the past year in dealing with that that end of the Model 2 standards adaptation. And you certainly can feel free to pick the brain of Pam over here in helping you with that, too, as well.
We also, we also have the press release that was done.
Oh,
you know,
so
you could probably use a lot of the terminology
right.
from the press release and also perhaps the minutes, from that.
Yeah.
Now, the economic benefits, Jeff, I was wondering if you might want to take a stab at some of those features on that end from maybe from the private side.
Yep.
Will do.
And I'd be willing to take a stab at some of those from the government side. And Jason, if you're on there, I wonder if you might be willing to just maybe provide a page or thereabouts, page and a half, about the ECRB development and how that has gotten to the point where we're at today to include in this report.
What time frame do you want to cover?
Well, it would basically kind of cover since when we became a commission, which was, July or August of 2008?
Yeah.
Am I right on that? Through through the end of calendar year 09?
Okay.
And then the well disclosure, the e-well certificate with the Department of Health. What do we do about that one?
Take it off the list.
No, I think it's important.
I'd have to look back at the minutes who came. I can't remember the name of the three people, but there was a gentleman. And then I'd probably have...
Condry, yep.
And he also handed out kind of like at that meeting a history of what had happened. I don't remember what the formation of it looked like. I might have it. With me, even.
Diane, I wonder if we maybe do a little research on that, and then if need be, maybe we even ask Mike if he would be willing to just put a little something together on that end, if there was something else needed above and beyond what we might already have from them.
Sure.
Mike, this is Janine.
Yes.
I think maybe contacting Mike or... would be a good idea. It's a little bit of a chance for them to blow their own horn.
Right.
And, asking them to do a brief summary of how it works and that it has, been put into place. So.
Okay. You all comfortable with that approach to deal with that one?
Yep.
And then our future. What I call our, where we've, you know, we now know where we've been and what we've approved and what we're looking at trying to move ahead for our major thrust for the coming year. And I think it's mainly to talk about trying to expand the actual use of recording throughout the state of Minnesota and as many counties as possible. And maybe include some comments about the number of the percentage of documents that have you know, been recorded electronically, and try and try and strive to change that going forward.
Did you think you got them off there?
I hope I didn't. Are all of you on the phone still?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
How are you?
Somebody was playing with the phone, and I just wanted to make sure they didn't cut you off.
Somebody was playing with the phone. Oh,
yeah. Is anybody interested or excited in taking a stab at that one?
It really depends a lot on your counts, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does, what you're saying, though.
I hear at lunchtime that somebody that we know has been encouraged to pursue an English major now because she's such a good writer?
Yeah, I did hear that.
I'm a liar.
Well, you're perfect for this.
I'll help you.
Okay, Larry and I are.
A testimonial will be forthcoming for
if there's something I can throw there, I'll
sure. We can make that kind of
the three of us will. Yeah, that'd be great. Because I think it was him who came up with that future part.
And there were several twists to them.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was looking for the minutes where the Department of Health was.
Oh, here. Larry, Chris, and Bill.
That's the future committee. We are the future.
Oh, that's yeah. Scary. Everybody run.
What's your...
Well, I think in terms of, you know, if we could have at least drafts of your sections by our February meeting.
Oh, okay.
If that's... trying to think, what's the meeting date for February, Diane?
I'll tell you in a second.
I would think you'd want it out a little before the meeting so people have time to digest, because I would hope that you would want to take any corrections, modifications at that meeting and then publish it, because otherwise you're looking at...
I guess we're getting far into March. Too far into the legislative session. Then.
Yeah, so February 18th.
You have to be almost ready to adopt it.
February what?
18th.
That's the...
The next meeting.
Next meeting is the 18th, so...
That's not that far away.
Well, if we try to have everything in by, what's the Friday before that? Would be the 12th. Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping these counties get back with the 09.
I guess I haven't thought, Diane, on how we actually put this together then and assemble it.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, handle transitions from
chapter
to chapter.
Yeah.
And
I'm just looking at what I need to do.
What have you got going on, and Sally and all that?
Well, Friday the 12th is kind of busy, but the 15th. 17th. We've got some, we work with the trustees it's a deadline to mail application to members for review. That's going to be a little busy for us that week. We're working with one of our commissions that work with is candidate trustees for the Minskew Institution, so it's we mail out all that. Right now we're taking applications for people who are interested in being trustees, and so being recommended by the TCAC, I should say, to the governor to be a trustee. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're taking applications right now. We just gather them all up and kind of mail them out to the members. We have a short time frame for that. So, but it's probably doable. I mean, it's not very many sections. It's 6 sections, so I'll try to get it done.
Well, I'm talking out loud here. What if we... 3 weeks from today, what if we ask people to have them in by Thursday the 11th then? That'd be a little better if you keep moving it up an extra day.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, isn't there a holiday in there?
President's Day, but we are working,
You have to work through that because the legislature doesn't take that day off, do they?
No, we don't.
I remember that well. I've been over here too many times.
It's a day for you to come over and testify. Right?
Yeah. I have done that before, yes.
I think if we could get them in by the 11th at the close of business day, before the close of the end of the business day.
Okay. Have folks there heard? We're talking about trying to get the drafts of the various chapter sections in by February the 11th. To Diane at the Legislative Coordinating Commission office?
Electronically.
Electronically?
By email.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
If that can be done by everybody, and then we can maybe have something to at least take a look at in a draft form for the commission meeting on the 18th.
We'll do a projector type of thing in the room, you know, so we can project it and print out some hard copies for the meeting then.
Yep.
As well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you all very much on that topic then.
Can I just ask this is a stupid question probably, but when you're writing it, are you going to say us? What type of term text are you doing? Because it's nice to if everybody's the same on their term. Like we are, you know, or the commission. It's just a minute type of thing. But
it's a good point, though. So it looks like
it's
a gross document. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many bills we read through where it's like different authors. That don't match up. So.
Well, I think we probably should use that referring to ourselves as the commission.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would be, you know, and
yep.
And,
and then if it was a subcommittee reference, we'll reference
yeah,
that.
The commission.
The subcommittee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Subcommittee did this or that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The subcommittee, yeah.
But yes.
It'll work.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody else that isn't here today that we should be assigning something to? I think some of them are...
she feels left out.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever heard Jeanine yelling and screaming and volunteering to be doing something here. I sort
of afraid I'm afraid of what you might give me.
You've never been afraid of anybody anytime. Don't tell me that. Anyway...
Did I understand you to say Larry was working on the future?
Larry, Chris, and Bill Morey.
Okay.
Hey, you want to be on there, Jeanine?
I might add to that.
All right.
Okay.
I'd like to be sure we, you know, look at getting in there about outstate.
Jeanine wants to make sure that they can electronically record up in Cass County on a lake by the name of Washburn.
Yeah, the Lion County.
They already are.
She wants to be able to accept the Lion County documents.
Right. Right. Okay, well, thank you all very much on that particular topic. Item number 6 on our agenda, other business items. Anybody have anything else that they wanted to bring up? Hearing nothing else? Anything else? Anybody else have? If not,
I would. Person that you were.
Oh.
Well, we did have that issue about doing validation efforts and stuff, and I hadn't heard anything, so I wasn't going to bring it up.
Oh.
But if you had something you want to talk about, Pam, that's fine. Otherwise, we can delay it until.
No. Unfortunately, the person that I had been talking to was called back by Medtronic to be a consultant.
Oh.
So.
Well, that is another topic we probably need for next year, and that is how do we deal with this issue of validation or new county indexing systems, and how do we find a way to get them validated and make it possible for them to compete in the marketplace.
I couldn't hear that, Mike. What did you say?
It's the topic, Janine, of the validation of county recorder indexing systems to be able to electronically record and getting the certifications that we've gotten for other ones in the state. We don't need that for Model 2, that we've made that decision at least at this point, but we would need it for, you know, Model 3 recording. And it probably isn't as critical for the next year, quite frankly, because I think we'll be mostly dealing with Model 2, but as we, you know, go down the path here in the future, we are going to need to find a way to deal with it. I think I'm comfortable, as I've thought about it in the past, of having the county and the vendor have to pay for the costs of doing that type of validation. But it was something to kind of try, and Pam had somebody that she thought might be available that was looking for something to do that did have the technical knowledge, and unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess we really should say, they have secured a position full-time, and they don't have the time between the job and their four kids to do a second job on the side at this point?
Not our four kids. His four kids.
Let's make that perfectly clear.
Write that in the minutes.
Mike made a major faux pas here. This is an acquaintance of Pam's. It's not anything other beyond that. So. Anyway. But we'll have to deal with that here as we move forward through the year. But that's just an update then. So, anything else? If not, Diane, do you need anything more about who's on the phone or anything? Do you need all the names?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would be great, yeah. Who is on the phone? I mean, I know Ryan, I know Janine.
We've got Michelle Ash, the county recorder in Sherburne.
Uh-huh.
We've got Lynette Trump, county recorder in McLeod.
Teresa Mitchell
for the Dakota County Assessor's Office.
Uh-huh. Jason
Parker from the Department of Revenue.
David from Simplify
All.
David, I'm sorry, I forgot your last name.
Stevenson
from Simplify. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A good Scandinavian from Utah.
Anybody else?
Is there anybody else I've missed on the phone? Ryan and Janine, I know you're there.
Kay Rookie, Martin County.
Okay. Kay Rookie from Martin County.
She didn't get any assignments.
No, she didn't.
Boy, I've never heard her that quiet my whole life.
She didn't speak up till now.
Rob Wrights, First American.
Oh, Rob Wrights. Hey, Rob. Thanks. Anyone else on the line so we can include your name on the list of attendees?
That's it.
Diane, I also sent you an email so you get the last spelling of my last name.
Oh, okay.
WRONG, is that it?
Very good, Mike.
did all the folks on the phone, did you get an email? Are you on our stakeholder list? Did Did everybody
get a... Did everybody on the phone get a email list with this phone number to call in, or is there anybody that's not on the list that we need to get on?
Rob Wright, First American. Diane, I included that request in my email to you.
Okay.
Super. Thanks, Rob.
I did as well. Jason here.
Okay.
Jason, okay. Well, then I want to thank everybody on the phone. I appreciate your participation. How has it worked for all of you? Was it okay? Could you hear?
Was it difficult this time?
Mike, Rob here with First American. I have difficulty hearing most everyone except for you. I could slightly hear Bill and sometimes Chris, but everyone else was pretty faint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately.
Some of my colleagues are laughing because they said that's just the way they want it.
Unfortunately, this
they
is...
thought some of us over here on this side of the room had bigger mouths than us, I think was what they were trying to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the equipment we have to work with. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, next time we could... put the, the other chairs on right on this side as we're all closer together.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to sit closer together.
Yep. We'll have to be friendlier.
Right. We're just going to have to get a little closer together. That's, I guess, what it's going to require. Well, thank you all, Ben, on the phone. I appreciate your participation and your willingness to join us. And for those of you here in person, thank you very much. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I would second.
Janine second. It's been moved by Jeff Carlson and seconded by Janine to adjourn. That is not an available motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you all very much. Good meeting.